ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the regular meeting with California Regional Water Quality Control Board, the Hunt Region. My name is Don Jardine. I'm from Montreville, and I'm the chairman. I want to thank the members of the public for coming to our meeting. We do a better job than you participate in the issues that come before us. At this time, I'd like to introduce other members of the regional board. Dr. Amy Horn, Peter Bunty, Keith Dias, Eric Sandow. Unfortunately, Jack Clark cannot be with us today. The executive officer is Patty Cole Young. Executive officer, please introduce staff.
Good morning, everyone. I'd like to introduce some of our staff that are here today as a resource to you. We have Sue Gennaro here, our clerk. If you want to speak for the board, please hand her a card. Tim Niemeyer over here is our chief counsel. Lori Kemper is our assistant executive officer. We have Chuck Curtis, I believe. We have Chuck Curtis here from our staff. Doug Smith is here this morning. Richard Boone as well. And we also have Vanessa Young. We did have Vanessa Young from the state. We're here as well. So thank you.
The regional board will be considering many items during this meeting. Although we must use our time wisely, we encourage your input on any items so that our decision will be based on all available information. If you wish to speak on any agenda item, please fill out an orange card indicating which item you wish to address and how many minutes you need. Although we do not administer an oath in most proceedings before this board, we expect all statements made before this board to be truthful, with no attempts to mislead by false statements, deceptive solicitation, or failure to contain essential information. We also ask that you obey our ground rules, which are: treat everyone with respect. This includes board members, board staff, anyone who testifies, and your fellow citizens. This means no personal attacks and no violent, contemptuous, or disruptive behavior. In the interest of everyone's time, please communicate your ideas clearly and efficiently so that we can develop an accurate record, accurate administrative record. We ask you to speak only when you are recognized. At that time, please come to the lectern and speak on the agenda item. If you do not follow these rules, it can become repetitious and may ask you to sit down. Any person aggrieved by any action or inaction of the regional board, including but not limited to the issuance, modification, or rejection of a waste discharge requirement, administrative civil liability, or a cease and desist order, may petition the State Water Resources Control Board to review the decision. The State Board must receive the petition within 30 days of the Regional Board's meeting at which the action was taken. Board staff will provide you with copies of the regulations and up filing petitions if you request them. They are also available on the State Water Resources Control Board's website. As we move forward in the meeting, I'll take item 12, 5, 6, 7, 8, following. Item 14, closed session. And item 13. So, staff report on item 12. This is the scoping meeting. 2012 Triennial Review of the Water Quality Control Plan for the Hunt Region.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good afternoon, board members. Good afternoon, audience. My name is Richard Booth. I am the supervisor of the TMDL Basin Planning Unit, and I'm a senior engineering geologist here in the Southwest Tahoe office. Today is the scoping meeting for the 2012 Triennial Review. I came before you and the public last month in Barstow and hosted a scoping meeting on this subject. I'm here today to present the same information as last month, plus some additional information based on the comments that I've received from you folks and from the public. And I want to mention to the items that there are handouts. There is this presentation There's a spreadsheet, and then there's comment letters on the table in the back for those of you in the audience. The board members all have that as well. I'm going to run through these bulleted items fairly quickly because many of you have already seen these, but of course, at any time during this presentation, feel free to interrupt me because this is more of a workshop style presentation than it is a formal presentation. The triennial review is a process. It's required by state and federal law to update the basin plans. The process involves prioritizing a list of projects, or what I will call a list of topics, or what I will call projects, that you, the board, direct your staff to work on. There is not enough funding to work on all the possible basin planning projects. Currently, there are 21 proposed projects that have the potential to amend the basin plan. As a result of scoping meetings and comments, some projects may be dropped, some may be added, and I will briefly introduce each project. On the bullet three here, some projects are already underway and are nearing completion, and some are required as part of basin planning program. Some are required by state water board. I will point these out and recommend that these projects be retained as priority projects that board staff will work on during the next 3 years. And this is the period that started last July 1st. As I'll explain later, there is enough staff funding to complete the committed projects, the ones that we've already started working on, but not near enough funding to work on all of the projects, all of the uncommitted projects. Nonetheless, the goal is for you to prioritize, based on staff's recommendation, the list of projects so that staff will have direction on which projects to work on. We may receive more funding, we may complete some projects with less funds than anticipated here, and some projects may be delayed. Therefore, this prioritization process is important enough that we held a scoping meeting last month and another here in South Lake Tahoe today. And I'm going to I've got three new slides to show you than what I showed you last month, and I'm going to emphasize the concept that we have additional funding from other sources, we have other staff working on some of these things, because I want to drive that point home, that we're not dealing only with the basin planning person years or PYs than what I've listed. Ultimately, my staff and I will produce for you a final staff report that will have our recommendations and have all the details presented today, plus more, and any other details or information you want us to provide. We hope to have this staff report to you at least 30 days before the January meeting in Barstow, because that's the meeting we would have you adopt this list, either in whole or modify it as you see fit. So the schedule will be such that we'll have comments from the public that whose deadline ends the 19th, so about a week from tomorrow. We'll get together with my staff, produce a draft report for internal management review, say by the end of the month, maybe early November, and then have the final report to you in late November, early December perhaps, for your consideration. You are not asked to take action today. You may express your opinion or provide direction, but it is not required. And as I've said, feel free to interrupt as I go through the list. After my presentation, you will hear from members of the public who will express their request. I believe Sue has at least three speaker cards. And are there any questions before I jump into the list? Very well. I've got seven projects listed here on this first slide. These are the ones that are committed. We're working on these. And the way this table is displayed, the first column shows where in your agenda package you can find more information on these projects. That's the big step number. There'll be a paragraph on each of these projects to give more detail, but I'm not going to go through that detail today. You'll see the title of the project. You'll see the maximum resource needs. That's how much we anticipate is needed in terms of person years over a three-year period. That's over the entire three-year period, starting July 1. And I'll emphasize later in the talk that there'll be more work performed on some of these projects, but it won't come from necessarily the basin planning funding. I'll give more detail on that later, so stick around for that. Then there's the last column, give a little background of some of the why some of these are on the list. I'm going to refer to China Lake later. This is an oblique air photo giving the setting for China Lake. The concern for China Lake are two shallow groundwater basins that have high natural salinity and other constituents. We're going to talk about de-designating the municipal beneficial use for this site. Here are three projects that are recommended to help us facilitate our permitting. These deal with site-specific objectives for water quality. One is at the Owens Valley, one is in the Susan River, and one is Hot Creek, also in Owens area. This is a picture of the Fish Springs hatchery showing the hatchery, what's that called, Raceway Pond, where we're hatching the fish, we're growing the fish. This is new fishing for those of you that don't know. We have some projects that are required by state board policy. They include salt and nutrient management plans for two of our basins in down south. We have a hydro modification related to a riparian protection policy the state board is working on, and we have biological indicators that are going to help us determine water quality. Again, another state board policy. These are all in the works. We recommend staff needs, as you can see, quite considerable for working on these, but these are long-term projects. And by mentioning riparian area, I just wanted to show a picture of a generic riparian area there. Here's further of our 21 list, showing some of the other projects that are recommended that we work on, or at least that we prioritize them. I presented these to you last month. This picture was taken at the confluence of effluent from the Mojave River fish hatchery and the Mojave River itself. It's just east of Victor Valley College campus, for those of you that know that area. And then this is my final slide showing the list of projects. This is one project with three options. This is known as the Bacteria Water Quality Objective Project. And I will discuss some more information on this project here in a bit. And I know that you will have some speakers to speak to this particular project as well. And here is a picture of cattle operation there in the Bridgeport Valley. I'm going to explain a little bit about the funding for the basin plan work. There is a total of 11.7 PYs allocated to basin planning for work over the next 3 years. Only a portion of that 11.7 is devoted to basin planning work that results in amendments to the basin plan. That's what this list I showed you. They could result in an amendment to the basin plan. In fact, only 5.7 PYs will be used for basin planning work that could result in these amendments. That is why we're here today to get information to prioritize this list. And I want to mention, take sort of a side note here, to mention that there are some TMPOs that my unit is working on that is scheduled for completion during the next 3 years. These will require amendments to the basin plan, but this work is not being funded by this basin planning money. It's being funded from TMDL money from the federal government and not part of this. For example, some of the TMDL development activities we're working on include the tributaries to Lake Tahoe with their impairment of fine sediment and some of them, I think, nitrogen. We have metal impairment in Bodie Creek, and we have PCBs, which is polychlorinated biphenyls, in Donner Lake. So these are some of the TMDL work that we're doing. Again, result hopefully in a basin plan amendment, but not charged with basin plan funds. Okay, I'm going to present now the first of three new slides that was not presented to you last month. Okay, so when I left you folks last month, I kind of left with gloom and doom, and I probably shouldn't have done that. The bad news is we don't have a lot of basin plan funds. But the good news is these projects involve everything we do as a water board, and we can gain from funding and work that staff does on other on projects that are related to these, and we also have money, we have resources, what we call external resources, available to us that we've been using and that we continue to use to complete some of these projects. And I want to explain a little bit about that now. (Clears throat) Basin planning staff this year, as I mentioned in the previous slide, staff utilized from other programs. The nine-point source staff work on some of these issues, and we gain from their work to help us move some of these projects forward. I mentioned, for example, Department of Defense staff. Omar works on the China Lake project, and his work by reviewing the documents is part of the Department of Defense funding. But we, of course, are going to use his knowledge as we are currently working on a basin plan amendment. And finally, external resources, grant money. I'm going to elaborate on that in a little bit. DMDL contract money is available to us. We have private proponents that provide money and resources. The technical justification report that the Navy did for China Lake, it's a pretty extensive amount of work to characterize the subsurface area of China Lake. Huge effort. We use that, of course, in our evaluation. USEPA, of course, provides money to us. Now, the final staff report that we'll provide to you in late November, early December, will quantify these numbers. I'm going to give you a taste of them now, but they'll have some more details so you can see what work has been done and what kind of resources are available to us. For example, the bacteria water quality objectives, one of the biggest efforts that we're doing in our region, we've already received, over the past 5 years, funding for that project that totals something on the order of $1.25 million. $250,000 has been spent on lab work that we do as staff members. Everything from the staff time it takes to do the lab work, as well as the lab consumables. I mean, this includes the petri dishes that are needed to do the bacteria analysis. We have TMDL contracts that total $160,000. These contracts are used to analyze the samples that are collected, evaluate them, figure out what kind of issues we have with the bacteria that's detected in the water. And then finally, we have $1 million from Proposition 84. I know you guys have heard about Prop 84 funding much of our work. We've got $1 million of that allotted just for activities that are related to bacteria and more specifically to grazing. Half of that million dollars is used for a rancher outreach program to implement best practices on their rangelands. It's used to test the effectiveness of these management practices. The other half of that $1 million is used for bacteria source tracking. We're very excited about this. We can hopefully one day be able to tell when we take a sample where that bacteria came from, whether it originated in livestock, human, or wildlife. Obviously, that'll help us go a long way towards solving our problems with bacteria in our streams. This colorful, busy slide here is an attempt to condense a lot of information into one visual display. The vertical axis shows the PYs that are needed to complete these projects from the basin planning funding alone. Each of the 21 projects are listed across the x-axis there. And then they're colored to indicate, give you an idea of the schedule. The current fiscal year we're in, we're working on most of these projects already and have spent some work prior to this fiscal year on many of these projects. And that orangish, yellowish color is an indication of how much work we've done prior and currently. Next fiscal year, we're going to continue working on some of these if you agree to move them forward or what we project to work on. That's a greenish color, and so forth. You'll notice that the last three columns, which may be hard to read on your slide, those are the three options for the bacterial water quality objectives. Those projects will continue, some of those options may continue beyond this three-year period. And if that's the case, we'll have more money available to work on those. The PYs I've listed here are just for this current three-year period. More money may be available subsequent to that. As another example of that, the nearshore, which is listed here about six or seven from the left. That indicates that the nearshore water quality objectives we're working on currently, and we're going to work a little bit next year. Well, since making this slide, it's been made known to me that there'll be some work that could possibly take throughout this whole 3-year period and even beyond, depending on how the scientific report is evaluated, what kind of recommendations are made. So it's possible that we can have more than just, I think, the 0.3 PYs listed to work on Lake Tahoe Nearshore. As you may recall, Dan Sussman spoke to you last night here at this podium, giving you an update on that project. And I just want you to know that, and make sure I point out, that there may be more resources available to work on that than this slide indicates. This is a handout that I've given to all of you, and for that matter, the audience also are welcome to do the same process that I'm going to recommend to the board, and that is to give us your suggestions. Okay, this handout shows the selection criteria for prioritization. The 21 proposed projects are listed in the rows. I've listed 9 criteria in the columns. These 9 criteria are based on comments that you board members made in the Barstow scoping meeting last month. They're based on criteria suggested by Lahontan staff and, frankly, staff in other regions. I have shamelessly borrowed the better parts of some of these other regions' triennial reviews to come up with our suggestion here. For example, if I can digress a moment, a lot of this format, and some of these are from Region 2, who have very similar type of decision process that they're making, like we're asking you to make. The San Diego region, however, Region 9, they had huge stakeholder input. They had 50 to 100 people show up at their scoping meetings like this one, just very vocal about projects they wanted to have worked on. And that region had something like 200 projects. It was huge. So the San Diego region chose to use stakeholder input as the primary prioritization criteria. So just so you know, not every region uses the same criteria. This is the criteria I'm suggesting to you based on how we've done it in the past and the input I've received. You're welcome to throw this out and do something completely different. Yes?
Can you elaborate on what is meant by the first column, benefits?
I plan on spending quite a bit of time on that.
Right.
And, or actually, I plan on spending quite a bit of time listening to you on that. But I would definitely like to talk about that at length. Well, not too long. You are going to get a report. But let me check my notes here, Dr. Horn, so I won't get lost. Okay, you have the handout, public has a handout. Okay. Most of the criteria are qualifying various pertinent subjects. You can see staff time expended and to be expended, money spent and to be spent, volume of water affected, and the idea of the magnitude of the effect, and so forth. The last two columns will specify policy and consistency for the project, if applicable. Now, these specifications will show you how we came, how some of these projects came to be committed projects, why we say these 7 ones that we're already working on, we recommend to continue working on. The column labeled benefits will be filled in with a narrative. We will provide to you in the staff report a narrative describing the benefits. Now, by benefits, the first thing that, of course, comes to mind is benefit to water quality. But as you see some of these projects, are removing a municipal beneficial use, for example, or changing site-specific water quality objectives. So I want to expand the concept of benefits to include that if we need to address our water problems realistically, if we don't need to clean up a water, in this case a groundwater basin in China Lake, for example, to meet municipal beneficial use because the water is already naturally high in salinity, if we want a realistic option to remove the beneficial use of that water so that the benefit to the people is more of a realistic regulation, more of an economic concern to not waste money, frankly, more of a perception that we, the water board, are trying to use common sense, if you want to look at it that way. And on that subject, I want to emphasize to you that all I'm asking you is to prioritize these projects. If we move forward with the municipal use of China Lake, for example, you're going to have the opportunity to comment on whether we have removed that use with appropriate boundaries, for example, or the appropriate. In other words, you're not deciding today or in January just to remove municipal use. You're telling us we want us to work on that project. If we move forward on that project, we have been and will continue to spend a lot of time figuring out where exactly that municipal beneficial use boundary in the groundwater will be. So that we want, as water board staff, present to you as much protection of as much water as is reasonable. Whereas the Navy, or any other project proponent for that matter, may want to make sure their interests are covered such that they don't have to spend extra money that they don't think is necessary. And this is where the give and take comes between, and I don't mean to imply the Navy as being recalcitrant, I just wanted to give that as an example. So that's the trade-offs that we always work on for these projects, and you'll get an opportunity to weigh in on that when we come before you with a basin plan amendment. Does that help? Okay. I propose that staff rank these various criteria and any others that you care to add. We'll provide a detailed explanation of the ranking system. Now, frankly, somewhat arbitrary, made a maximum point available on those columns such that the benefit column, the first column, has up to 20 ranking points. Let's have 10. They total 100, but that's completely arbitrary because this is a ranking system that is relative. It's just what you think are the more important ones. Number of people affected. I don't mean to imply in that column there, the third from the right, that only 5 people are affected. I've got some folks teasing me on that one before the presentation. That's an idea that between 1 and 10, that the amount of people affected, for example, for the China Lake is a moderate amount. It's not the whole region, but it's a significant number of people. You are welcome, number one, to even ignore this. You can wait for the final report. We'll do our best to prioritize these projects as we think you see fit and suggest that to you. And you can wait for the final report in the January meeting to adopt our list or not. You can go into great detail of these and rank all, you can fill in every single blank with your ideas of what you think are priority, which of course will help us prepare the report so that we can prioritize the list that we think you would be most reasonable to adopt. So again, I emphasize, use this, mark it up, send it to me, put your name on it so I know who's sending it. Ignore some of the columns, add more criteria. You just may want to rank them all in one column, 1 through 21. I don't want to make it too vague, but at the same time, I don't want to be too restrictive on your ability to give us input. Any questions on that? The comment period for the schedule on this, the comment period ends the 19th. That's when we'll get, and by the way, we've got 7 comment letters so far, and I believe you've all received a copy of them. The comment period ends the 19th. We'll get busy after that, incorporating any comments we receive to date and since and up to that point. I would request that if you give us your input here by the end of the month, so that staff can incorporate comments, your input, and prepare a draft report for management review in November. So that by the end of November, we hope to have pretty much finalized staff report. Produce it maybe in early December, certainly more than 30 days before the January meeting. And by the way, the cover letter, I think, in our agenda package said that our meeting for the hearing this list was in February. I don't think that's correct. I think we're scheduled for January in Barstow. Okay, scheduling. And that concludes my presentation.
Looking at your wonderful chart, this is wonderful. I'm just in scanning down the left-hand column of the types of listed. I'm just wondering, you know, as I'm thinking about this chart, is this list of basin plan amendments representative of the types of projects, or is there a type of basin plan amendment project that's not represented in this list?
That list, if I'll try and I'll cut me off if I start to ramble. That list, the list before you comes from previous basin plan projects from previous triennial reviews. One of the comment letters, for example, is LA County Sanitation District, who want to be designated. I think it's the ag supply and one of the other beneficial uses, where they're discharging 5 tons. Well, that was considered a project. That was a recommended project back in 2009. It was dropped from the list. Frankly, I'm not sure why. I wasn't involved. So this is the best one we could come up with, the information we had. We're welcome. We may add some. Your final report may have more projects on this list.
Yeah, I mean, I'm asking kind of a more hypothetical question. So if I was working through this spreadsheet with these list of projects, is there a type of project, you know, that where there might be some other criteria that would weigh, that might weigh heavily, that's, you know, not represented in this list? You know, do you think this represents the universe of the types of projects, not the specific projects,
right,
that you might work on it in the basin plan?
Okay, I think I know. I'll try it. You're welcome, or any of your staff welcome to try. On this list of projects, the last column says background. And maybe that's related to what you're asking. We want to, like, there's one category of updating the basin plan as things change. One category is state board policy. So if you want to categorize what we do and what the purpose of our basin plan is, I would point to that background. And the criteria, the selection criteria that we've chosen, tries to mimic that. It tries to give us an idea of if we're going to have to adopt a policy, that should be one of the selection criteria. So perhaps the background here might give you a flavor of what we think is pertinent to the basic planning. We say facilitate permitting. We don't want to get caught in an administrative contradiction, if you will. For lack of a better word, but I'm struggling with it.
Right. Okay, that's helpful.
Okay.
And then the second question I have is, when you listed the external resources at slide 14, you listed grant money, TMDL contracts. Could you elaborate a little bit more on project components? I mean, are they federal agencies, state agencies, local agencies, private entities, business associations? I mean, I'm just kind of curious.
Yeah. I don't mean to be flip, but the answer is yes to all of the above.
Okay.
Project proponents, as the name implies, is agencies or individuals bring to us projects they would like us to work on that may result in a basin plan amendment, or what I call project proponents. And oftentimes they bring to us data, money, funding sometimes, to work on these projects. Most of the time, though, it is more their time that they've spent in evaluating the water quality objective or the basin plan aspect that they want changed. And it's really more in terms of scientific data, not an advertisement, not a feel good, we'd like to have this done type of thing. It has to be real data that we can use. And by the way, many of these projects that change the basin plan must go through peer review. So when a project proponent comes forward with data that they would like us to review, if we don't have the expertise, it will be peer reviewed by others that have the expertise to check for its validity. So the project proponent that comes forward with data, which is, like I say, mostly what I'm talking about here for external resources, is something that we just don't accept without question.
But specifically, it includes private sector money or private sector input as well as public sector money.
It does. I'll have to give an example. All the ones have been working with are agencies. I haven't had an oil company come to me and say that our benzene level is way too low and they'd like to make an order of magnitude higher.
I have a question here.
So yes.
I have a couple of questions. The first is, as a matter of practicality, you've got the section or the grouping of projects that are described by you as committed. And then there's the second grouping as required by state policy. So I'm wondering, committed, I understand, I correct me if I'm wrong, that those are projects where we're pretty far down the road because of the work that we've done in the past, and so there's a sense in which to downgrade those projects at this point would be to abandon the benefit of the work that we've already done and has already been paid for. The required by state policy sounds to me like there's not a lot of wiggle room there for us to decide. We don't think that that's particularly a high priority, since the word required is always one that I pay particular attention to in my mind. So is it fair to say that really and truly where we have the most latitude to move things around are those programs or projects that follow the four that are on the slide there, which are the required or define their origin in state policy?
That is correct. And on that subject, Mr. Humphrey, I'd like to also point out that when I use the term required by state board policy, I should include these also are oftentimes generated and required by the U.S. EPA.
Okay. So if my addition is correct, which is never a good gamble, it looks like 9 PYs are used up by those committed and required projects. So that leaves us with approximately 2.5, at least on the basis of what we've thought of before we get the additional input on where other things might come from, or to divide among the ones where I categorize as having actual latitude. Do I understand that correctly?
That is correct. It may even, just for basin plan funds alone, it may be even less than 2.5. It could be as low as 1.1 PYs for a whole 3-year period.
So I understand that you're going to give us some additional information about how there might be more resources available to add to that 2.5 number.
That is correct.
Because I'm having a hard time figuring out how to give you feedback about priorities without knowing what the size of the actual resource basket is going to be. And so I just throw that out as an aside to explain perhaps why I might not get comments as quickly as we might hope. My other question has to do with the sort of a follow-up to Dr. Horn's question about the project proponent resources, and I want to make sure, I guess, that that concept is understood in the community in which we do in which we're preparing the plan, so that at least all potential project proponents, I hope, would have an understanding that, you know, if they wish to participate or assist or whatever in an appropriate fashion in this process, that opportunity is known to them.
As we tried to do.
Yes.
One comment I'll make on your first point, which is what I heard loud and clear at the last scoping meeting from all of you, and why I'm attempting to show that we're trying to emphasize the fact that don't get too worried about the low number of the 2.5 or the 1.1 PYs available in basin planning, and please know that there are other resources that are not only available that we're currently using to work on these projects. Still, we're not necessarily be able to address them all 21, or for that matter, any more that are added. But there's more money available and more time available to work on them than this low PY would indicate. Hence the need for prioritization. As we work through our staff load, and some of these estimates, of course, will change. We allotted, you know, one PY to do one of these projects. We might do it in half the time. We're obviously know that it may take twice as long. But with your list, with your prioritization that we hope to have adopted in January, then that's our marching orders. We know what we're going to do in order based on what you're done, given the resources available to us.
Well, I guess that's part of what I'm not sure I understand. Let's assume, for the sake of argument, that your marching orders were to ignore the requirements of the state board. I have a hard time believing that that actually would become your marching order. So, in truth and in fact, it seems like, to me at least, what I'm hearing is that we can prioritize things, but we have to have an understanding that some things are going to happen, period.
Gotcha.
And to be honest with you, it would be extremely helpful to me to know what are the things that are going to happen, period.
Right.
Because those have been prioritized by somebody else. There's a sense in which I don't have to bother doing that.
Exactly.
And so I'd like to know what it is that I need to prioritize, because we actually have some options.
Perfect. I get it now. Yeah, we have seven already presented to you. We wanted to make that up front. Seven we call the committee. We want to keep working on it. Maybe an example, and I certainly would invite staff if they want to add any more information to your point about adopting a state board policy that's required. State board passed a septic system policy, on-site wastewater treatment system. We can adopt that policy simply as an appendix to our basin plan. Boom, we're done. It'll probably take less time than it has to explain it to you by now.
I don't.
That's a Texan exaggeration. Can't avoid throwing that in. Might take a little more time. We may choose at that time, since we're going to open the basin plan for that related issue, to amend our basin plan for everything related to septic system policy or package treatment plans or anything that's been in our basin plan that has given staff trouble or interrupted us doing our job. And if we choose at that time, then the adopting state board policy project may expand greatly. So that's kind of a range of type of work we can anticipate doing.
My name is Lori Kemperon, the Assistant Executive Officer, for the record, and on this issue of required state board actions, I mean, that septic tank policy is one of those things where there is an actual time deadline in the state board's in their decision, and I think similarly in the in the issue of salt nutrient management plans, the state board has a policy and also requires that those policies be incorporated in our basin plan, and there are time deadlines there. But there is a provision, at least in the salt nutrient management plan, for an extension that's possible, and it's in the 2014-2015 time frame. And I guess as much as the word required is used, you know, I just want to remind you that the State Water Board was under legal mandate to update the septic tank policy, and they were about 5 or 10 years behind, I believe, similarly to them adopting the Caltrans permit. So I'd just like to suggest that it's important for us to hear your priorities, and if we did say we can't get to it in this three-year period, and it's going to happen in the next three-year period, I don't know that there'd be any ramifications of a delay taken by this board, you know, especially if it was in the order of a couple of years as opposed to a decade. But so I just want to give you that insight in terms of requirement, because I'm not sure there are any very serious ramifications in a delay. I mean, I've never seen it happen, and what I have seen is the state board often delays getting things done that they're ordered to do by the legislature. So just because the state board's requiring it of us, we don't always meet their deadlines, but we do our best to try to, you know, stay within the bounds of that. And there may be other pressures from other entities, but so far, and on the issue of septic systems, we know that's going to be it's going to be resource intensive to get aligned with all our counties and their own input, because that's part of the program, is for them to step up and own some of that. We do think some of the issues related to our basin plan and septic systems will get resolved as part of the prohibition amendment package, because we're going to try to get rid of prohibitions that are no longer relevant. I mean, a classic example might be the Eagle Lakes Falling Track, where you've got a sewer system now, the prohibition is not as critical. Things like that, areas that have been sewered, so we had prohibitions in the past because we didn't have sewers. Those will take care of some of those issues. But anyway, it's helpful to get your priorities, because I think we can have a little bit of wiggle room on the gates.
So is this list just the uncommitted? This doesn't include the required or the committed, correct?
That, Richard Booth, that list includes the committed as well as the uncommitted, if you will.
Okay, but not the required.
Mm-hmm. The required, that's everything.
It has everything. That's the 21 projects that we've been talking about all along. They're not labeled as such.
Okay.
But if you refer to the previous slides, you'll see the
state
work required, you'll see the committed.
All right, I see the salt and nutrient. Yeah.
It's already a busy slide.
Doug Smith, supervising geologist here. I really want to add this piece of info for you. Don't get hung up on the numbers, okay? All these numbers, they're not absolutes. Sure, we get a defined amount from the state board, from US EPA, the information that we need from you and from the public is what are the highest priority projects that you'd like us to work on? If you want us to start on something, we can start on that. We do this all the time. We can spend a few hours getting going on things. But we need to know from you if you think this is a lower priority, and we will find a way to not work on it as much. Okay, that's just the way it works. Don't get hung up on, okay, there's only 2.5 PYs left, so we can only divide it up amongst these projects. It doesn't really work exactly that way. Okay, just wanted to kind of get that out there. And this is just a relative comparison. If you think every single one of those 21 projects is the highest priority, give them all the same numbers. If you don't want us to work on something, give it a zero.
So if I understand you, and I'm glad to hear that you really don't need any help from us figuring out how to manage your time, which is wonderful because I don't have any help to give you. This is more of an abstract wish list. This is really important.
Yes.
You figure out how to make it happen.
Yes.
I'm much happier with that.
Okay.
Mr. Sandell, do you have any time?
I have one comment, which is this is extremely helpful to me.
Oh, good.
So thank you very much for putting this together.
You're welcome.
Just a follow-up question. Will staff be filling this out too, or how will you just synthesize this and what you get from the public? Or?
Yeah, actually, Kim, that's an excellent question. I breezed past that point kind of quickly, and I'm glad you brought me back to it. We're going to provide you in our final staff report this thing filled out, or something similar to it. We're going to recommend to you. You don't have to mess with that at all. You can wait for a final staff report where we're going to try to anticipate your needs based on comments we receive, plus comments from the public, and present to you a list with the prioritization criteria that we think. And you can agree with it or not, and change it or not. So it's something that's helpful to us if you fill it out. If you say they're all high priority, obviously that doesn't help us. But at least you make it, that's doesn't help us prioritize, but it tells us something of your wishes, which we would use to incorporate and make our final staff report. Yes?
One last question, which is just scanning down this list of 21 projects, could you identify which ones of these dischargers would be subject to minimum mandatory penalties if without a basin?
I'm going to let Lori handle that question. She has knowledge on that.
And maybe it's helpful to just give you a flavor of some of these projects, because there are different levels. For the record, my name is Lori Kemper. So specifically, the three sites that have NPDES permits right now are Fish Springs Hatchery, Hot Creek Hatchery, and the Susanville Sanitary District, which discharges to Susanville. Those are the three dischargers subject to NPDES permits. And the Mojave River has also had to be there. We have a couple of projects down there. Those would not be affected. Those won't, you know, have anything to do with them in the county. So the situation right now, as you may or may not be aware of, is that both Hot Creek Hatchery and the Susanville Sanitary District have been subject to minimum mandatory penalties already and have already been imposed by the board of those minimum mandatory penalties. However, in the case of Susan River and the Susanville Sanitary District, it was their minimum mandatory penalties were related to chlorine, and your action yesterday, basically, you may not have been aware of that, but the decision yesterday actually ended the clock on their previous permit that had, you know, they were using chlorine. I mean, they've been using ultraviolet disinfection already, but essentially I think there is a significance in your action that sort of ends the clock on any chlorine violation. And we plan to wrap up a number of minimum mandatory penalties for the Susanville Sanitary District related to chlorine, and they'll be able to use a compliance project, which essentially was the UV project. So the other issue with Susan River, and the reason we have site-specific objectives up here, is that they have, right now, the way their permit is written, they're not violating, they're not subject to minimum mandatory penalties because they don't have effluent limits for certain constituents. But US EPA has told us that the permit really does not conform to the way they would like permits to be written and where effluent limits should be set and for what purposes. And in essence, because their discharge goes right to a surface water, the objectives of the Susan River should apply. Basically, the objectives of the Susan River should apply to their effluent at the point of discharge, and that would be difficult. We don't have a permit that says that right now, and they have a few years for permit renewal, but that's why we're hoping to resolve the matter so we can renew their permit.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a number of options that may or may not involve changing the objectives because they may be able to store more water in the winter and not be not having surface water discharge. So the project is complicated. Okay. The issue with Fish Springs Hatchery is we know we need to adopt site-specific objectives in order to write a permit that conforms to Clean Water Act. We have backburned that permit. This is another example. The permit's expired, and we told EPA it may be 5 years before we have the basin plan fixed so we can renew the permit. The Hot Creek Hatchery, as you know, was subject to no mandatory penalties. We think there's a way to rewrite the permit that would no longer subject them to minimum mandatory penalties for the things that they were previously fined for because there's an allowance for intake credits because the river water is high in nitrogen and we can allow for that. So the Hot Creek project is written here, as I told Richard, I said it's up there really as more of a watch list kind of thing because this next year we're going to renew the Hot Creek permit. And we think we can deal with the issues of minimum mandatory penalties without changing the basin plan, but I've been told there may be other constituents that are starting to show problems. And this really has to do with how the spring waters are changing in Hot Creek and whether or not the fish hatchery is adding any additional pollutants to that water. So there's some more evaluation that has to happen. So it's on there right now just because we don't want to forget about it, and it may require a basin plan amendment, but it may be that we can resolve it with a permit issue. So that's where that is, those three. The other thing, going back to maybe the previous list on just, I want, you know, things like, there's some of the things on there that are kind of at the bottom of the list right now, not because we've ranked them, and I don't want to make the building nervous, because we've set the bacteria ones at the bottom just because we have the three options, but the ones right above that, things like Swat Valley groundwater, dairy strategy, Mojave River, beneficial use clarification, biological beneficial use for Mojave River, and revised water quality objective evaluation. Some of those things may or may not need a basin plan amendment. I mean, we may be able to do it as part of a larger basin plan amendment, kind of a cleanup one where they could be lumped together. But I would say, well, dairy strategy, we already have a dairy strategy and we're doing it. It doesn't have to be in our basin plan. That came out of the Victorville staff just saying, hey, it would be great to update our basin plan. There's a lot of things in our basin plan that have been there since the 70s and don't actually reflect what we do today related to non-point source or dairies. And so that's a request to just try to bring it into the 21st century. But we have a lot of things like that, and not all of them are listed here. So that's an example of something that you don't need to do because we can move ahead with the dairy strategy without having a policy in our basin plan. So So we'll try to, you know, that'll be some of the things that we'll be, you know, we're just kind of right now scoping, we're trying to take everybody's ideas, get them out there, and then we'll be kind of evaluating them in that kind of a process. So, does that help?
Yeah, it does.
If I could add to that, you know, being what staff were hoping to bring to you as well is a little bit of an analysis. You know, when we get all the comments in, when there is some idea of priorities, you'll get an analysis as well that will give you some of these information to help you factor them. And perhaps you'll want to sort them in tiers, you know, with this bunch in this tier and this bunch in that tier. So
that'd be helpful, yeah.
Yeah. So we'll try to work with you and, you know, get your wishes in there. In particular, on this chart, I think it's helpful to know which of those criteria you, as a board, see are more weighted than others, perhaps.
Exactly, thank you. And Lori's example, Hot Creek, for example, you know, as we're estimating one full PY, if you do not need to amend the basin plan for that project, that frees up almost one PY to work on the other projects that we hope you will prioritize.
Thank you. I have three speaker cards. And I'd first like to ask Mr. Michael Thorne.
Hello. Actually, it's Michael Bloom, but I'm Michael Bloom, and I'm with the U.S. Navy, specifically out of the Naval Facilities Engineering Command Southwest in San Diego. And what our office does is we manage and support the Naval Air Weapon Station's China Lanes installation restoration program and their environmental staff there. I'd like to introduce Marie Dreyer, who's also out of our office, project manager, and Kathy Monks, who is a consultant to the Navy with Tetra Tech, who helped produce our technical justification memo. And my position is the lead remedial project manager for China Lake out of our office. So the Navy and Water Board personnel have worked together toward adoption of the Basin Plan Amendment to remove the MUN beneficial use designation from portions of the Salt Wells Valley and shallow groundwater within the Indian Wells Valley groundwater basins since the late 1990s. The Basin Plan Amendment is needed to allow a risk-based approach to setting groundwater remediation goals instead of requiring cleanup to drinking water standards in poor water quality areas. A removal of the MUN beneficial use designation will enable remedial actions under the Navy's installation restoration program to proceed in an efficient and cost-effective manner within an area spanning 72,520 acres approximately and covering a three-county area. The Navy has provided and will continue to give the Water Board complete support and assistance to achieve the Basin Plan Amendment. For example, during the 2009 triennial review period, a Water Board staff requested the Navy to submit additional technical information to evaluate the feasibility of the Basin Plan Amendment. And all of these requested items were included and addressed in a document entitled, The Technical Justification for Beneficial Use Changes for Groundwater in Salt Wells Valley and Shallow Groundwater in the Eastern Indian Wells Valley. And that was dated May 25th of this year and submitted to many different agencies, including the Water Board, for review and comment. And based on this information provided in that technical justification document and previous information that the Navy had provided, the Water Board personnel determined that the removal of the MUN beneficial use designation from those two groundwater basins at Naval Air Weapon Station China Lake should be one of the committed projects in the 2012 triennial review. And that was presented in the Water Board's meeting in Barstow in, last month. This proposed Basin Plan Amendment also has the support of the community, the Restoration Advisory Board in Ridgecrest and China Lake have submitted a letter to the board, as well as just recently the Indian Wells Valley Cooperative Groundwater Management Group have submitted a letter to the board as well in support of the mean beneficial use designation. So the amendment process has been making good progress, but a little more time is needed to complete the action. The Navy has and will continue to provide waterborne personnel with technical assistance, coordination, and support needed to achieve the Basin Plan Amendment. Thank you.
Any questions?
So looking at this great chart here, if I understand it correctly, it looks to me as if the staff is projecting completing this Basin Plan Amendment in fiscal year 13-14. Is that acceptable to you?
Yes. Any more questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
Bill Thomas.
Chairman, members, Bill Thomas, Centennial Ranches, Bridgeport. We've been before you a few times late. I will try to be brief, but we certainly wanted to fully participate. As we have in your information workshop in Barstow here, any next time you might be dealing with this subject, very important to us. I had submitted some preliminary written remarks. The record's open for the 19th. We will probably supplement that with some of the new information today, and I'll take my shot at filling out Richard's new chart. I'll do that only for our issue. I won't try to attack any of the other items. I'm pretty familiar with triennial reviews. I've been involved in several over the years, regions. And a lot of it, of course, is just what you've been talking about, competition, resources, no matter how unsavory it is to choose between usual projects all meritorious, but it comes down to competing for people, money, and time to include projects. That's certainly relevant to ours. In previous conversations, I have in Barstow talked mostly on why this project should be prioritized. I won't duplicate a lot of that, but we've talked in that regard, the efforts that have been ongoing, that this has been a problem that even creates the waiver. It certainly has been sought by us in the previous triennial reviews. Initially, it wasn't picked up to our frustration. Then it was last time, and so it's a holdover item. from the last triennial review, the waiver itself, you'll recall, had indicated that it would be an item that would be reviewed, we have certainly appreciated the opportunity to bring it to your attention, the information session, and that it's gotten the attention of staff, your board, along the way. In addition to that, a couple of items that, not unlike perhaps the Navy, said this has been an item that we as dischargers have been fully engaged in with your staff, and we have been collecting data. The reservoir data is extensive. So from that standpoint, it's ripe for action. I will not go back into the points that we have talked before about how how this standard really was never devised with agricultural waters in mind, and that it's wholly unusable and had never been reviewed for agricultural waters. I would underscore that we have never taken a position that the 20 colony standard should be changed for Lake Tahoe or any of the other related pristine waters that it had been originally devised for, arbitrarily though that might have been. The our amendment here that we seek is really more of a clarification of where that is applicable and what in its stead should be included for where that is not applicable, the agricultural, you know, waters of this region. What I would like to touch on a little today is going to the options that are presented. First off, we observe that we certainly appreciate the thoughtfulness that has gone behind setting forth three different options. And of course, that range runs from half a PY to five PYs. The time range runs from the 6 months to 5 years. with that, certainly the 6 month and half a PY is very attractive from general efficiency, certainly comparatives with what you have. And we think that therefore option two, moving quickly with the database that you have within the half a PY, half a year, to make the amendments to the Bridgeport Valley, where you have the data before you, makes the eminent sense.
Excuse me, Mr. Thomas, but I don't see where you're getting half a PY in 6 months from, because that's not what this graph is showing.
That graph is a recent depiction of when you look at the options as are written. It had doing Bridgeport Valley half a PY in half a year. This chart was the full phase one and phase two of option two. And in fact, it's somewhat deceptive in that regard, because the Bridgeport Valley moving to 200, which is phase one of option two, which is here in depicted, phase 1.5 in 6 months. The graph, Dr. Horn, you indicated, and I had this place somewhere, really should have a line across it about here, bifurcating the phase one and phase two. Mm-hmm. In fact, in that regard, doing phase one plus option two, there would only be 7 of the 23 projects that would commit less resources than the half of the block. So that's, Dr. Horn, what I was referring to. By comparison, option one wouldn't make any changes for 3 years, which we don't think is responsible to the data and to the history here, and would spend 5 PYs in doing it, which I don't think the regional board has, even borrowing from other committed funds projects. Comparing to option three, where it's divided also into phase one, and phase two, it would take 2 years or four times as long to make any amendments for Bridgeport and require 3.5 PYs to do so, or 7 times to phase one in option two. I think, Dr. Horn, you had inquired when we visited about this in Barstow, how should we regard the prospect that US EPA might be making bacterial changes nationally? We have been expecting something from EPA on bacteria for 3 or 4 years. It does look like it's more probable now than the history would show us over the last couple of years. EPA often falls well short of its timelines in all this regard. But I do think over the next couple of years, and maybe well within 2 years, we will probably see something from US EPA. I think the state board is positioned, when they get that, to probably do a statewide standard on bacteria. That's somewhat speculative on both points. But as I look into that murky crystal ball, I think that we have to make this action on what's before us now, and the Bridgeport thing is right to move to 200. If in a year, year and a half, the US EPA and the State Board act, like I'm guessing they may, then that will save spending a lot of the rest of the resources into page two, phase two, to deal with the balance of the region beyond Bridgeport. I am not unmindful of the importance to do the entire region, Wee Branch and Mammoth. Matter of fact, the hatchery that you're dealing with at Hot Creek, neighbors, I believe, are the width of a barbed wire from that. We've lost a cow or two over the years into there, but they lose fish into the creek as well. So we're mindful about getting to the other regions, the other areas within your region. Certainly, our partner John Lacey, Crawley and down at Independence, is certainly anxious to deal with this. Others that I'm very close to, up in Susan River, Willow Creek Valley, watching this very closely. I talked to them preceding this. Everybody beyond just Bridgeport thinks that it makes most sense to move quickly with the data you have now for Bridgeport, bring it to 200 to comport with the rest of the state, and that will pave the path for later making amendments to the rest of this region if, in fact, EPA doesn't change the rules.
Mr. Gross?
I actually have another question to follow up. In July, this board adopted a waiver of waste discharge requirements that effectively took the basin plan standard off the table for Bridgeport Valley until the year 2017. I'm having a hard time understanding why, if that 20 fecal coliform unit standard isn't being held to the Bridgeport Valley ranchers until 2017, why it's so important to spend our very limited time and resources adopting a 200 fecal coliform unit standard when that standard, when the 20 standard isn't being held to you until the year 2017. And furthermore, you yourself have said that what really is important is adopting a region-wide standards that make sense, which I agree with you. That's, that is really a high priority. So I'm having a hard time understanding why option one, phase one of option two is so critical when this standard isn't being applied to Bridgeport Valley Ranchers at this time.
This board, when the preceding waiver had been adopted, said you were going to do this, that you were going to deal with this problematic piece of your basin plan in that 5-year period, and you didn't get to it. It was in your triennial review, you didn't get to it there. We're looking at a pattern of kicking this can down the road. It is a standard in your basin plan. You were right, it temporarily, again, is an interim standard, of 200 for the Bridgeport Valley. Everybody outside there, it's an immediate, compliance issue. They're not protected, by the way. We think that it's long overdue that you make the amendment in your basement. Because that is the facts before us. All you've done in making the interim standard is give yourself time to make this change. You can't kick this can down the road, any longer. And half of PY in 6 months would make it look like this board actually is taking it seriously. I don't expect that satisfied, but that's a huge question.
Are there questions from other board members?
Actually, I have questions for staff on this question. Other board members don't have questions for Mr. Thomas.
Thank you.
Questions to staff. So, looking back at our great bar chart, and the different amounts of time required for the different options, I'm trying to understand where the pinch points are in these. So, to fully implement options 1, 2, and 3, and if there are opportunities for partners to bring some resources to the table that might reduce the times for completing options 1, 2, and 3.
My name is Lori Kemper, for the record, and I think for the staff and for your consideration in changing the basin plan objective, as we have mentioned before, one of the key things we have to look at is what is reasonable to achieve, especially if we're looking at lowering water quality standards, which is what we are talking about. And I appreciate Mr. Thomas, saying we didn't do what we said we were going to do, and some of that has to do with the Prop 84 grant that we were hoping to have in play a couple of years ago, and that was delayed by the lack of sale of bonds. So now we have this great opportunity to get money on the ground. The reality is the money is going to go on the ground next year. BMPs are not getting installed now. They're going to get installed next year in 2013. And we want to be able to monitor the effectiveness of those practices in a kind of a controlled setting, a scientific setting, because changing the standard is going to require peer review. Especially if we're looking at a number that is outside the box so to speak, you know, different than what EPA's suggestion or what State Board's suggestion, but we're saying it makes sense in the Lahontan region to protect grazing and water quality at the same time. So in reality, the pinch point is getting ranchers to participate in our grant program or to do it outside the grant program. I mean, the Bridgeport ranchers have been installing management practices for a number of years. They've committed to installing a number of other management practices. It's critical that those practices get installed now and through the year 2013, because we need at least a year of monitoring after those management practices are installed. So realistically, the year of 2014 becomes the year of assessment, and then we get the data and we start cranking out a basin plan in the year 2015. So option one shows that the work would be completed, you know, by July 1, 2015 is what that chart is showing. That's probably, that's as aggressive as we could possibly be, and it may not be actually realistic. So that's really the pinch point. So it is critical that we get the best participation and the best cooperation next summer, because if we don't and it's delayed another year, then the whole thing gets delayed another year. Every year it goes by that we don't have practices in the ground with up and downstream monitoring and a good science project on how effective and how reasonable are we being and picking a number. I mean, we can pick a number, and I think that's what we were showing, is we can pick a number. We can try the 200, and Richard's estimate of a half a TY to get the 200 in the basin plan is simply what he thinks is an administrative task. It's not going to require peer review, and that we would beg EPA to accept it because it's their number nationwide. But we may get a lot of pushback from other parties. We don't know. I mean, we're suggesting we could make that attempt by just doing a textbook thing and putting 200 in there and using the rationale that it's good enough for the country, it's good enough for the Bridgeport Valley, and it wouldn't require peer review. But if we're actually going to come up with a number that makes sense for our region and for grazing in our region, then, you know, we need more time. And we need participation, which is critical.
So I hear you saying that the project proponents can best help by taking actions on the ground to implement the needs as quickly as possible.
And
that is the best thing they could do to help move this along. Okay, thank you.
Just, can I ask one follow-up? Yeah. I'm a little confused. But are you saying that if option two received a high priority because it could potentially be achieved administratively as to Bridgeport, that would not preclude examination, or would it preclude examination of Bridgeport in the future?
No, it would not preclude that. So phase one could happen, and then phase two would happen on a much longer time.
And would basically be the same kind of work.
Yeah.
And Bridgeport would be included in that as the plan was amended for the entire region. So we would just be administratively fixing something where we have this stopgap waiver in place, but it would not preclude us from doing the rest of the analysis for the region, including the.
Right.
So I have a follow-up question to that. So right now, from my perspective, there's no urgency to do phase one and option two because they have a 5-year waiver. And assuming the project proponents get their action, their BMPs on the ground, we, according to staff estimates, will be able to complete the region-wide revision within the time of this waiver is in effect, right? So for this triennial, could we postpone putting phase one of option two into effect until we're getting down towards the end of this 5-year waiver? It looks as if we're not going to, complete option one to have taken care of this issue region-wide. And at that time, you know, implement phase one of option two
It's possible, I guess it's hard for me to predict the future. I mean, there's a couple of things to keep in mind. If we're in the midst of peer review, for instance, or, you know, we're far enough along that that 200 no longer makes sense, and it may not make sense for a couple of reasons, because if EPA comes out with an E. coli standard, they may not, and then this could happen even for this first phase. In other words, if in January you were to say, drop, someone in Richard Stout's going to drop everything for the next 6 months, just work on giving 200 to the basin plan, the reality is something we can't predict during that six-month period, because if EPA has adopted a new E. coli standard and is urging the states to go down that path, they have to approve our basin plan. So, I mean, you can adopt the 200 and they may say, well, this is an irrelevant number, we now want you to use E. coli, right? Or the state board could do that, because the state board is now down going down its path to adopt E. coli. So, I mean, it's a little bit, it would have been easier last 6 months, you know, than it's going to be possibly in the January to June timeframe, or the, you know, February to, I can't predict that, you know. And maybe in January after the election, you know, we may have a different sense of EPA's priority and schedule on this topic, or by January maybe it will be released, you know, so before your action you may have some additional information on what they're proposing. And I think, you know, Mr. Thomas suggested that that the EPA policy and then the subsequent state board policy may eliminate the need for the regional board staff to do much of anything but just take what they've done and incorporate our basin plan. We don't see things that way. It's possible it will happen that way. The state board may direct us in that manner. But in, traditionally, the state board allows the regions to use region-specific circumstances and criteria, and we have been telling the state board during their public review process and public comment process that we are spending money to do our own E. coli fecal coliform correlation, because we feel that the correlation in the Eastern Sierra is going to be different than other places in California or on the East Coast where EPA is developing their E. coli number, and we feel very strongly about it. And so far, it appears we have the support of State Board and EPA on that, because they've been given us grant money to do this bacteria source tracking and to do this work. Again, that could all change, but I'm just saying that we still anticipate, even after the State Board were to adopt a policy, that we would want to examine that and then maybe take parts of it and maybe not take other parts of it. But we would have to see how that, you know, we're obviously, the more information we have prior to the state board taking action, we'll try to inform them. And if we can get the state board to incorporate our numbers into their policies, we would do that. And we have tried to tell them that as they've moved along, you know, that timing-wise, they shouldn't jump on a path if we're 6 months away from, say, a final report on the research we're doing. You know, that as we move forward in anything, we should try to deal with the best available science and knowledge that we have in all our collective pockets. So that's why we are investing a ton of time into this effort. But it does come down to kind of timing, you know, on when we get the results. But we want to try to keep moving that down the path, and we're committed to a large staff effort to do this, you know, the right way.
If I may add one, this is Richard Booth. You're welcome to separate out on your selection criteria matrix the phases of those options, if that would help you. You want to differentiate, we can handle that.
And one more speaker card.
Mr. Barry Hill.
Good morning, Chairman Jardine, members of the board, and staff and public. My name is Barry Hill. I'm a hydrologist for the USDA Forest Service Regional Office. Appreciate the opportunity to make some comments. I'll also be talking about the bacterial objective. I'd like to note before I launch into that, though, that although this late addition to the agenda notes that our letter from our regional forester, Andy Moore, was received and indicates it's in the packet, I don't actually see it in the packet, so I hope that it will be made available to the public along with the other letters. And I'm assuming that it is in the record, so I'm not planning to read through the whole letter unless that's considered necessary. I'd like to just move on to some other comments. Why is the Forest Service concerned about the bacterial objective? Well, under the Multiple Use Sustained Yield Act, the Forest Service is mandated to manage national forest system lands for production of wood, water, wildlife, recreation, and range. And if you think about those last two, range and recreation, those involve livestock, pack stock, and humans, all of which are carriers of coliform bacteria. Your current basin plan objective doesn't provide for any bacteria from those sources at all, and that's very restrictive in trying to manage our land. And as far as I know, that current basin plan objective is not related to scientific information on the protection of beneficial uses, which is what's required by the Port of Cologne Act for regional boards to develop basin plan objectives. On the other hand, our sister federal agency, the US EPA, has gone through quite a bit of work and trouble over the years to develop criteria for bacteria that are protective of the primary contact recreational use. And we feel that those criteria could be adopted pretty much immediately without much of an investment of staff time. We understand, as an agency that is constrained similarly, that resources are limited, and we understand that your staff has done a lot of work on this and is planning a lot more work, and we appreciate that, but we feel that a lot of that work could be avoided by just adopting the US EPA current standards, or we understand they are developing new draft standards, and I think those would be fine as well. We do think that if you are going to be investing a lot of resources, as it seems you are, in collecting additional information on bacteria in your region, we highly recommend that that include some assessment of pathogens so that the public health can be protected by a scientific basis for relating the indicator bacteria to the actual pathogens. Thank you.
Any questions?
Yes.
Is the Forest Service planning to collect scientific data on pathogens and connecting those to bacteria?
Well, we are collecting data, as your staff is aware. We have a project with UC Davis. We also have a project that we're doing under investigative order from this board, and we anticipate doing further work. We're not doing work that's specifically related to comparing levels of indicator bacteria to human health risks. We may analyze some of our samples for pathogens, a subset of the samples we collect, but we feel that US EPA has already done that work, and that's already available to science.
I don't appear to have your letter. Do you have anything to help?
Richard Booth, again, I apologize to Mr. Hill and others. The letter that he refers to was in my master list of the one that you see. I have it, certainly will make it part of the record, although it is already, at least in the list I gave. But if it will help the public, because of this oversight, we're planning on posting all of the comments that we received by October 19th. What I will do is very quickly get all these letters posted on our website this week or early next week, not wait for the 19th, so everyone has an opportunity to see the letter he's referring to.
Thank you. Any questions? My board has questions. Well, we look forward to the 19th. I will really get your input again, and I understand we'll be reviewing it in January. Is there a need for a break?
Yes.
We'll take a 5-minute break.